easy to say, ooh, that's not for me. Now, I'm not going to ask how many have already said that to themselves, because I don't want to be surprised. But I believe it does apply to each and every one of us. Okay, let's start with a passage that Graham quoted right at the beginning of the year. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And incidentally, I haven't got my big Bible up here because I've written all the verses out. Right. It's not that I'm not using the Bible. I'm still using it, but it's just written a different way. Okay, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a passage that very often gets the title, The Great Commission. We all heard that one. The Great Commission. Now, I just want to say, in France, you have to be careful if you preach this passage. Because if you use that phrase, the Great Commission, it actually means going to do a poo. So we have to try and find other ways around. Right, that's the end of the French lesson. So let's have a look what it means. What is mission? And who are missionaries? By missionaries, we often get this picture of people who go into other lands. You know, perhaps if you're of my age, perhaps younger ones, as Matt has said to me, younger people don't get this picture. But if you talk about missionaries, you get this impression of David Livingstone going trekking through Central Africa with his big hat on and his big baggy shorts. Well, I've got a pair of big baggy shorts, but I'm not David Livingstone. No, missionaries, if you look at Neil and Lou, if you look at us, we're just ordinary people. But you still get people who come up to you. And we were talking with Neil and Lou over Christmas when they were here. And one of the things that surprised them and surprised us at one point was people coming up and saying, well, I've never talked to a real missionary before. Well, we're ordinary. Some of you know we're very ordinary. We feel the same pains, face just the same problems as everybody else. There's no difference. It's just that we're working in a different place. So it brings me back to a definition. What is mission? Let's look what the dictionary says. And firstly, it says, mission is a body of people who are sent to negotiate or to convert. Now, that gives us that picture, that impression of the David Livingstones and so on and so forth who have been sent all over the place. A second definition, it's a military term for a task in war. Right? Or it's someone's appointed task or work in life. Let's remember, it's not only Christians who send out missionaries. You've all had, I'm sure, Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on the door. Or the Mormons. You see them walking about two by two. But also major world religions send out missionaries as well. The Muslims. The Buddhists. You look around. Christians aren't the only ones. So let's not get ourselves thinking that we're the only ones who do this. So I want to look at a simple Christian definition, and this is the way I see it. It's doing what God wants you to do, where and when he wants you to do it. Okay, can we sit with that one? Anybody unhappy with that? Okay. So, by that definition, we're all missionaries. Yep. Good. Right. Little aside, church and mission over, what, a century and a half became separated. So for 150 years or thereabouts, missionaries were sent out, usually by missionary societies. And they may have been denominational, they may have been interdenominational, things like Horizons, who we went out with, or Operation Mobilization, or YWAM. But there were definitely organisations which were separate from church, and some called them, and some were, parachurch organisations. But there's no biblical evidence that that should be the case. There's lots of evidence for various other ministries and gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, workers of miracles, healing gifts, administrative gifts, tongues. We read about elders and deacons, but there is no mention of missionaries in the Bible. There are a few special cases where groups are sent out for special things at special times. But almost everything else comes back to a missionary call. And it's good to see that local churches are picking up that missionary call again. That it's no longer having to go through big organisations which are separate from church, but churches are actually sending out their own missionaries. Praise God. Okay. Missionary calls, when you look at them in the Bible, refer to everyone and not just a chosen few. So let's have a look. The beginning of that verse, Matthew 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Who did Jesus speak that to? The disciples, the 11 who were left. Did he pick any ones in particular? No. It was spoken to them all, and through them, to us. The go and make disciples applies to us as well. Yep. Good. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Well, that's what it says in my Bible. If you've got an NIV, it says, to all creation. So, when did you last preach to your dog? When did you last preach to your cat? A tree or a flower? Well, now, I know there are some funny people who go out into the garden and talk to their plants. I don't. Okay. So much for what is mission. So much for who is a missionary. And if we accept the premise that mission is not just for a few, but for everyone, let's ask ourselves, why? I like these little questions. Why? Okay, first reason. Jesus said so. It's good enough for me. Is it for you? Yeah, obedience. It's the only thing Jesus demands of us. Matthew 28:20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Jesus insists, but it's an obedience that's linked through our love to him. It's not an obedience as of a commander in chief, as of a big boss. It's an obedience through love. John 15:10 makes that clearer. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, And John 14, 23, all who love me will do what I say. So obedience through love. First reason, Jesus said so. Second reason, to see him come again. When Jesus was asked about the signs of the end of the age, Mark 13, 10, he replied, the good news must first be preached to all nations. And that statement about it going out to all the nations isn't just New Testament. Isaiah 2, 2. In the last days, the mountains of the Lord's house will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. And this one isn't on the screen. Isaiah 11, 9. As the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. Jesus said so. It's to see him come again. And actually, it's been part of God's plan right from the beginning. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. But that starts in Genesis 22, verse 18, and through your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And it comes again, other places as well, but right at the end in Revelation 14, 6. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. So it's God's plan that everybody knows. Okay, that's the why, the obedience. Seeing him come again, it's all part of God's plan. What about the how of mission? Well, again, let's go back to Matthew 28, 19. This isn't on the screen again. Jesus was very clear when he spoke to the 11. And he said, therefore, go and make disciples. Now, therefore follows a reason. Okay? And the reason is this: I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus speaking. And it's from that position of authority that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And he says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So there's an empowering at that point. And we can see that empowering of the Holy Spirit, which made things happen. The second part of that same verse, Acts 1:8, gives us a pattern. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now that's like a series of circles. It's like a stone dropping in a pond, getting gradually bigger. Therefore, and I'm using a therefore now, it begins at home. It begins as witness in our families. It begins as being witness in our place of work, our school, in our activities, in our clubs. You can add to that list as much as you like, but it starts where you are. It's this witness that the Holy Spirit enables each and every one of us to be naturally supernatural. Or supernaturally natural, I'm not sure, but it's this difference in our lives that causes others to ask questions. And then we've got an open door to answer. We can all witness to the action of God in our lives, but we're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to preach on the street corner. I'm certainly not. It's not my gifting. But we can all witness. We can all tell the truth of what God's done in our life. We can tell the truth of what's written in the Bible. And that may be anywhere, work, home, outside in the shop when Morrison's opens. And I think it's helpful for us to practice telling our story, to learn how to tell our story easily. Evangelists will tell us you've got 2 minutes. After that, people lose interest. So let's keep something there, ready to respond. Okay, let's look at that pattern. Jerusalem, at home, in our family. Judea, probably our neighbourhood, in our own country, our own language. Things like street pastoring, the youth outreach, seesaw. You know, just to mention a few that I know are already happening. We can all be involved in them. They're all outreach. They're all Judea. Because they're speaking to the outside. Samaria. That's into the next country or culture. But note, Samaria was enemy territory for the Jews. Enemy was the land of the people who didn't believe like us, weren't like us. They were a different group of people. And I would put in that area what I've called Samaria, short-term mission trips. And finally, the ends of the earth. Well, that can be anywhere, can't it? Because the ends of the earth starts here, where I am, and goes as far as you like. Let's look at the biblical example of the early church and its mission. It started well. It was empowered. Let's not forget, 3,000 people were added to the church in the first day. Now, that's not bad, is it? Masters of understatement. How would you like to see 3,000 come to Christ in a day? I'd love to see it. Yeah. Unfortunately, it stayed in Jerusalem. Now, I don't want to give the early church bad press, but there are some realities to be faced. That early church needed a spiritual explosion to get it moving. For those who heard Dwayne White speak about transition, he translated the word transition, which we always think of as something slow and steady. He translated it as a quantum leap or boom. And we can read about that as the persecution that came on the church. In Acts 8:1. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. I think it's helpful to remember the empowering came in Acts 1:8, and the explosion comes in Acts 8:1. I don't think there are any accidents in the way things happen. And it's an easy way to remember. If we don't get the empowering right, then boom. Okay, the folks went out. Acts 8:4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Now, this is the ordinary people. This is not the apostles. So that empowering and the explosion which had blown them all out of Jerusalem now is being lived out by all these folks all over. You and me. Each one of us. Now, I'm going to go very quickly through the rest of the book of Acts in about 3 sentences. Acts 8 verses 5 to 8 tells the story of Philip, who was transported Don't know how. Probably by an Xbox or whatever you call them these days, some machine. But he suddenly appears, talks to an Ethiopian, and the church gets itself into Ethiopia. That's part of the boom, isn't it? And it's still a strong church. We then read of Peter, who goes further. And finally, we read of Paul's three missionary journeys and eventually goes to Rome. All right? Now, if you want to read all that, great, read the book of Acts. I'm not going through it all. On a personal level, I want to try and show that we followed almost exactly that same pattern. So it didn't come out of the blue, but it did lead to us spending 19 years in France. Firstly, we were empowered by receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now that's many, many years ago, over 30 years ago. So we became empowered. We didn't see 3,000 converted the first day. But there you go. We're not perfect. I told you that right at the beginning. We continued to work in education. We both received a number of promotions. Pam finally had a role in which she visited many, many schools and saw many people. And each of these was coerced to ask her about her faith. It was that living out that we sang about earlier. That was her mission field. Mine was the school in which I became head. I was able to preach the gospel, witness, teach, pray, and encourage the children especially to take up their ministries. And there were many occasions where children were praying for one another if they weren't too well, and even for members of staff. I should never forget the day I walked into a classroom and the teacher told me what a lousy migraine she had. So I said, well, have you asked the children to pray for you yet? No, just got a migraine. So I said, okay, I'll ask them. So I turned around, asked the class to pray for her, and walked out of the door. At break, I said, how's your head? Oh, it's gone. So I said, well, make sure after break you go and tell the children. Okay. It's easy, isn't it? Walk out the door and leave them to it. Now, during this time, we were taking and also encouraging short-term mission trips. We took a number of trips into France. And I think I'm right, when the church was smaller, we had some 19 people, 19, 20, something like that, people who actually went to France as part of that encouragement. So we were living in some area at the time, in and off, in and out. We're doing these short-term mission trips. And then the Lord said to us, right, now it's time to go to Samaria. Well, he actually said France. Now, remember, it's the land of the enemy. You know, and we all know, don't we? We've all heard it said, well, that's the natural enemy. And in some ways, it still is. No, not at all. But at that point, we had a choice. We could say no. And we could come up with all kinds of reasons why we should say no. We don't speak the language, which we didn't. My claim to fame is O-level failed 3 times. It took 2 of us to go and buy a book of stamps because we could work out what to say, but if they spoke back to us, we were stuck. Great. We don't speak the language. We'd have to leave our children, who at that time were 16 and 17 years old, when he asked, a bit older now. We'd have to leave our family, have to leave our house. We'd have to give up successful careers and good salaries. So humanly, the answer is no. So what did we say? Yes. We trust you, Lord. And I have to say, we never lacked for anything. We did miss the family. But we had support from Ashwood. There's nothing in that story to say that we are or were anything special. Because we're not. But what we did say was yes when God asked. And we were obedient and we followed that pattern. So, if mission was for us, mission's for everyone. And I come back to that definition that I started with. Mission is doing what God wants you to do, where and when he wants you to do it. Now, you all said you were happy with that definition at the beginning. I'm not going to ask whether you're still happy with it. But I'm going to keep that definition there and say, in light of that, I'm going to ask everybody to make a brief assessment of themselves. And I'm not going to ask for raised hands or for anybody to stand up. Well, not at the moment, anyway. Just make a brief assessment of where you are in your missionary life. Are you in Jerusalem? Are you in Judea? Your local area? Are you in Samaria? Have you taken the first steps out of your known culture? Maybe going on a short-term mission trip, as a number of others have done. Are you ready to go to the ends of the earth? Which could be anywhere. I do want to underline that no one is better than any other in those steps. I do want to stress that our call is our call. And it may be at any point along that line. And that doesn't mean it's wrong because you haven't gone further. It means you've gone to where God's called you. And are you like Isaiah, who's willing to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," with all that involves? And we were reminded again by Duane White last week that those windows of opportunity that come to us usually come with a packet of inconveniences. So I'm not selling you anything short. I'm saying quite simply, this is the way it is. If you say, "Yes, I'm willing," then you take the whole package. And another question, which actually isn't directly in there, are you feeling frustrated in what God's called you to do? Do you think you should be doing more? Have you been struggling with it? Because if you have, I've got a second question, or another question. Have you done what God last asked you to do? Because if you haven't, he's unlikely to ask you to do something new. I want to pray. Is that all right? I want to pray for you. Is that all right? And I want to pray in four areas. And I ask you to acknowledge which of these areas is appropriate for you. Whether it be just saying a loud amen at the end, sticking your hand up, standing up, whatever. Do whatever feels appropriate to you. And I'll tell you the four areas. The first one is the empowering. Being filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit. It's what Matt was talking about earlier. The second area is having a heart for mission, or for reaching out, at whatever level that may be. The third one is frustrations, that blockages you sense in your life become clear and are dealt with. And the last one is a willingness to be obedient. Are we all up for that? Okay. Thank you, Dave. I knew you would be. I said I wasn't going to ask anybody to stand, but I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I just feel that we need to respond. Lord, as you empowered the church in the beginning, I ask you to come again with your power, your Holy Spirit, and touch each and every one of us now to either fill us or to fill us anew with that power that causes us to be naturally supernatural, that gives us the ability to go beyond ourselves, that gives us that fire to set others on fire for you. Oh, Lord. If you feel you need to respond to that prayer, please raise your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. More, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of your power. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to touch each one of us now with that heart for mission, that desire to reach out, that desire to go again beyond ourselves and to touch this needy world, to touch this world that's crying out for help. Lord, with your help, we can make a difference. Oh, Lord, come, come. More, Lord. And Lord, for those who are feeling frustrated, who feel that they're struggling to go up further, to go deeper with you, I just ask you to point up where those blockages are. And to help those individuals who feel blocked, who feel frustrated, to just get those blockages out of the way, in Jesus' name. And Lord, it's easy to say, yes, I'll do it. But Lord, I ask you to teach us how to be willing, to be really obedient, and not just say we'll do it, but do it. To hear your will, to move in the way you want us to move, to go forward in you, to go out in you. Oh, Lord. Lord, show us those windows of opportunity, even though there are the inconveniences, and show us and help us and strengthen us to go through those windows and doors of opportunity that are standing wide before us. Oh, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask one last thing. And we're going to sing, well, those who want to, an old chorus, if you want to be used by the Lord. I want you to join with us in singing here I am, wholly available. But there's a government health warning. If you sing it and mean it, God will take you at your word. The government health warning, I spoke about this many years ago at a church, and we used this song, and a couple took it literally, and God took them literally, and they finished up in Pakistan. So be warned. Be ready, but be warned and go for it. Amen.